time for Extra Sauce with Greg Hill and Courtney Fallon. Now, here's Greg and Courtney.
Welcome to Extra Sauce, and I think this is a first for Extra Sauce. I am still in Fort Myers, Florida, and Courtney is holding down the grill in Boston, or holding down the, what would you be holding down?
I'm holding down
the blender?
The studio, and making sure there's no sauce that ended up on any of the... Here's the thing. Here's what I mean, we're probably going to get in trouble for this. Everything's cleaned up in the studio, but Greg is such a messy eater. And when I tell you that, like, if you want to picture what Greg looks like when he's in the Extra Sauce studio trying this food, it's like a groundhog munching on an apple, and just a sauce everywhere. They're like, I'm holding down the studio, making sure that no sauce spills on any of the equipment, because we had a little issue last episode.
You're supposed to, first of all, you spilled the something on the equipment last time.
I didn't.
However, you're supposed to wear a third, like at least a third of your meal. If you haven't spilled sauce on your tie or cheese on your lap when you're driving somewhere eating in your car, then you're not a real eater.
Well, so, first of all, that's not safe driving. Greg eating in his car, that's nice. Have you been eating a lot of like shrimp and grits in your rental car? What's the food scene like in Fort Myers?
It's pretty good, to be honest with you. I mean, I could give you a brief rundown of where we were eating this week. The first thing is that I don't know if you're familiar with like the hospitality hour. That was a new thing to me because I never stayed at a Homewood Suites hotel before. But
listen, sparing no expense. I'm really surprised.
So
that
long
you were
about
taking full advantage of every inch of, that they offer at this hotel, Homewood Suites. Please indulge. I need to know.
Yeah. So
I need
long,
to know.
Long about 4:30 or so when it starts to get to the dinner hour down
before
here.
Before drinks? Is this before a cocktail or after a cocktail?
All the retirees make their way to, and the guest retirees make their way to the lobby of the Homewood Suites, and they offer up a buffet of some kind. And I think the first night it was a nacho buffet. And,
oh, wow.
Second night it was a chicken patty sandwich buffet. Second night was hot dogs. Third night was so they offer the free food. You could get wine or beer, you know, like a 4 ounce Bud Light or Coors Light or something. So they spare no expense down here. But I think seafood is huge. Are you a seafood fan?
I typically don't eat shellfish, but I do enjoy shrimp and a lobster tail.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like, I grew up in Boston. That's kind of like my go-to. I used to be a kind of a big oyster person, but not really. I want a little more bang for my buck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like an oyster appetizer doesn't really, with like a nice mignette, and like, it doesn't really do anything for me. But
really?
No, it doesn't.
What
really.
About like a, what, like a, what about like a po' boy? Like,
no, 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 no. I don't. Listen, girlish figure. You got to watch the fried food. But
I gave up on that a long time ago.
Well,
but,
all right.
The shrimp is big down here.
Yes.
I went to
tell me about it.
A morning show listener recommended a place called Pinchers, which is in Fort Myers Beach. I've never been to Fort Myers Beach before. It's like your typical cool beachside community, some great dive bars. Pinchers, I had the buffalo shrimp, which was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They did offer clam chowder. I don't know. I think clam chowder should be a Boston only thing. I don't think that if you're in Florida that you really ought to try the clam chowder, because it's just never going to live up to what we have back at home. We went to a great Italian restaurant, which is called Two Meatballs in Fort Myers. Two Meatballs in the Kitchen is what it's called. And
sounds a little sexual.
Yeah, it was
two
it was
meatballs two, in the kitchen. There must
two meatballs.
Was it a male head chef?
It's like two meatballs, comma, in the kitchen.
Okay.
Is what.
I feel like we should have him on the, we should have the head chef there on the show, because the name sounds a little suspect, but it sounds,
then,
I trust your judgment.
And then I, you know, it's a chain, but I love the Capitol Grill. And so they have a Capitol Grill in Fort Myers. And we went there the first night that we were here. But I, you know, we discussed this a little bit on the morning show, but I think Florida is like the chain restaurant capital of the world.
Oh, for
I
sure.
Mean, there's, well, there's every chain here. Waffle House.
Yeah.
You know, Fridays, Chili's, like every single. And I don't know, is that because it's so many tourists and they'd rather go to a place that's familiar as opposed to go to a local restaurant?
Well, for anyone who hasn't lived or traveled to Florida a lot, it's like the entire landscape is made of strip malls. It's like one strip mall to another strip mall, but that's just kind of how their commercial real estate plays out. So I'm not surprised about that. But other than that, I mean, I remember my grandparents used to have a house on in the western side. I mean, the eastern side, you got Miami. We all know what goes down in Miami from Super Bowl. But I mean, like, you're in the western side of Florida. Like, what the hell is there to do down there? Is there, like, it's just really just, like, old people and Greg? Like, fighting? Are you, like, throwing bows, like, at the hospitality bar, making sure that you get extra cheese on your nachos? Or, like, you actually going to, like, a movie? Are you doing things at night?
I'm not
going
to come to Florida and go to a movie.
Why not?
Because I can go to a movie at home.
What is there to do in Fort Myers, Florida? What is Greg doing besides literally fighting with old people at the
and
Homewood
eating,
Suite?
Besides, and at the ballpark. I mean, there's a beautiful ballpark here. We're about to have Jason Veritek as a guest on Extra Sauce. Jason Veritek is going to talk about food with us and restaurants and bars and all that stuff. And then a little bit later on, we're going to get a visit from the team over at Aria, which is probably at the top of the list of my favorite restaurants in the North End. So,
extra sauce on Greg's nibbling on Greg's shirt. There was just like, I mean, like anytime you have an Italian restaurant, Greg cannot make it out of an Italian restaurant without having tomato sauce all over his face,
that's
in the beard,
true.
And then all over the shirt. All over the studio equipment. So with that said, let's get to the show, right, Greg?
Yeah. So we have another exciting episode of Extra Sauce coming your way, and we will talk with the former captain, former catcher of the Boston Red Sox, now a special assistant when it comes to baseball operations from Fort Myers on Extra Sauce. We'll be right back with Jason Veritek here at WEEI.
Now back to Extra Sauce with Greg Hill and Courtney Fallon on WEEI.
All right, well, with me here in Fort Myers, one of the all-time great Boston Red Sox catchers, captains, now a special assistant when it comes to baseball operations, Jason Veritek is here. How are you?
Thank you. Welcome me.
I'm
welcoming myself.
You're welcoming yourself, and I meant to say
good to see you.
By the way, Courtney, I mean you can't see him because you're in Boston.
I can. It's still, fine because like still, I was a young kid when the 2004 championship happened. So it's
don't rub it in his face.
My hero. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show.
But he still looks pretty good in the uniform. I mean, you still look pretty good in the uniform.
I'm glad
it helps when I've lost some weight over the last month. Before that, the uniform was sticky.
Yeah, I mean, even as a special assistant, you have to get into playing shape. Is that you have to get ready for spring training?
No, that's, you know, you want to make your wife and everyone happy. And yourself.
And
yourself.
Greg, I'm glad that you're saying this, and I'm not, because I would be surprised if I said something like this and Catherine would come after me. So, you know, I'm glad it's a, you know, it's a man on man love.
Oh,
know?
No, I'm in a much better place than I was 2 months ago, so it's good.
Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about food, about restaurants, about going out, because that's what the show is about. And you guys end up being down here for a few months. And the family comes down and everything. Do you guys end up cooking mostly where you stay, or do you guys end up going out all the time?
We're in a hotel so much, so we're always out and about and have to. And we give a little different dynamic down here because between probably 5:15 and 7:30, you can't get in anywhere.
Yeah, it's hard, right? Because everybody's vacationing and it's and they're older. They go out early.
Yeah, or I'm older because I'm usually asleep by 8:30 during spring because your days go long and you know you end up falling asleep early because you're up at 4:35 in the morning, heading to the park. So
when you were playing, who usually ended up picking up the tab? Did you guys do like a rookie dinner? Did you guys like force the rookies to pay, or how did that work when you were playing?
You know, general best way to say Darren Lewis. When I think we went and had a beer one day after a game, and this is early on, and you know, I rushed to go get one. He grabs me and says, "Don't you ever." He goes, "We take care of you. You take care of your family right now. And then when you get in a place, then you take care of what's behind you." And that's the way I've always functioned.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's nice. And
so, yeah. You know, as I grew and grew in the organization, so you have a lot of minor league help that comes in the catching department. So everybody in any and everybody that had participated in any of our drills and or helping with pens, that we'd have a catcher's dinner. And go and let them eat and crush whatever they want, and Mirabelli would hand me the bill.
I love that. I love that. One of the bars that I remember the most, at least the last 5 or 6 years or so, that's not here anymore, Daisy Buchanan's.
Oh, Daisy's.
Daisy's is when, I didn't run into a lot of Red Sox players when I was out, but, I mean, that was just a hot spot for the Rangers, for the Yankees, every time they'd go in. What do you miss the most about that bar? Because that was the Red Sox bar. They let you push the limits a little bit on certain things, too.
I think I got to know the bar a little bit more towards the end of the career post-playing. I'd always been there a few times. That's where people go. But you have families. You have things going on. You got to perform the next day. So as an everyday player, you couldn't really waste your times out too much.
Unless you were Napoli.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, different people function differently.
That's where I met Mike Napoli the first
time. I couldn't touch my toes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did later on, and you know, friends, a lot of really good friends, and people even sitting here, and you know, just you know, it'd be a good place. They were good to us.
Yeah. What was when you were playing? What was your favorite restaurant in the city?
I didn't eat much in the city because I was out more in Newton and Needham and out that direction. We were at Cheesecake a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like
On Route 9.
Yeah.
There was a Capital Grill right there on Route 9.
Yeah.
In that direction. I would probably those two. I didn't come into the city. I've learned that with my wife being a foodie, that I've eaten more in the city than I had in the last 8 years than I did in the previous 12 years.
Yeah. Are you, when it comes to steak, are you like, if you had only one choice, are you a Capital Grill guy for good, or do you? I mean, where's your favorite steak? It doesn't have to be in Boston. Where's the best steakhouse you've ever been?
Oh, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. Never looked at it that way. I have a fight between Old Abe and Louie's and Capital Grill.
Abe and Louie's is still good.
It's not. It's not. It's.
What do you mean it's not?
It's not. It's gone down. I don't know. The quality has gone downhill, at least from what I've experienced over the last couple of years. It's just not. The ambiance is fantastic. It's just. It's a staple. But I don't. Yeah. Like when you said the old Abe and Louie's, I feel you. I feel you, Tech.
I'm trying to think of there's a place always by the hotel in Anaheim, and it's a chain restaurant, but they have a bone-in Kansas City strip that's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you're feeling a little frisky at the end, you're going to have a butter cake.
Butter cake anywhere.
I can't think of the name of the, not Gibson, something.
Something along those lines.
Yeah.
Would you guys always end up eating out on the road? I mean, is that generally, or do you guys eat in the hotel?
Generally, you eat at the field 90% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, you have a night game, you're done. That's what our clubhouse people, and things have changed over whenever their last agreement was, where it becomes a team-controlled food environment. But, you know, there's anywhere from 3 to 7 meals a day at the field. You pay for it, and now the teams pay for it. And these are your people. These are who take care of you throughout an entire season that stay under the radar.
Yeah.
And, they make
sure. But you end up tipping. That's like you tip those guys out at the end of the year,
absolutely.
Right? It's like a clubhouse guy.
Yes.
like a really good clubhouse guy, what's he make at the end of the year tip wise?
I mean, I can't.
Your guess? I mean, whatever.
Greg,
I mean, thousands.
No, I mean, you can't because, you know, they have their own overhead that they cover out of their pocket. Yeah. And they survive their lives. And it used to be. Now it's different because they've had to salary people because the teams pay for that. They don't get the tips on. They get tips on just being who they are. And
but it's different than it was. But it used to be like, I mean,
and it's still hard not to. So however many games I've been there for, it's like, no, you don't have to do that. No, I have to. This is what you grow into. And maturation wise, through the course of time, the longer you're there, the more you pay.
Yeah.
The more you make, the more you pay.
Well, that's the way it is.
And
that's
just across the board. That's just always been that way.
I mean, do the salaries surprise you? Like when you look at Trouter, I mean, is it just the natural escalation of the business, the way they?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it doesn't bother me. It should in 10 years be a lot higher than it is now. There was a gap to where it didn't move exponentially as much, you know, from like Alex Rodriguez signing those days until the more last 3 to 5 years, things started escalating again. But that's part of what it is. And we have all of our past to thank for, you know, even today for having the opportunities to do that. But it's entertainment. It's like you can't say anything about what Oprah's salary was because that's just what it was.
Right. It's dictated by
not
the market.
As impactful as our teachers and firemen and policemen.
Yeah.
But it's just unfortunately where the scale goes.
Yeah. So Tech, I have a question about the other people. You know, you had some clubhouse people taking care of you during the year, but what about the other most important person in your life? Is your wife. She's Greek and she likes to cook. What is, like, can you pronounce, I have a question, what the thing that goes on the pita that you cut off of the big slice, it's spelled G-Y-R-O-S. Please, just, we need to know from a man who's married to a Greek.
I may say it wrong, but it's a euro.
Yay!
It's euro, yes. It's euro.
That's it. Yeah. What is Catherine's favorite thing to cook for you and the kids at home?
I mean, she's so good and at everything. It kind of goes, you know, Liv, the youngest, she wants her pork Slovaki, which is basically the little bit of marinated pork, and then you have the pita. You know, she may not do the pitas, but she loves that. She has a Greek meatball soup that's called Yuvatalakia, which is a favorite. One of my favorites is something called, which brings back my Slovak parts of me. It's called Yummy Sta, and it's either stuffed peppers, stuffed zucchini, stuffed tomatoes, and, you know, it's like a ground beef and rice in them, and it can be fresh and light, and makes an ava lemono sauce that goes on top.
Oh, that
so that's probably
so
my
good.
Favorite.
Greek food is great food. Oh. It really is.
All food's good.
Yeah. Well, even, what about in Georgia? Did you get into barbecue?
You know, it's not. We had for a while, there was an older place that had been there for years, and it shut down probably the last 5 years, and it was a little family-owned place called Dillard's. It sat right on the corner. You can get some real old-school barbecue, but barbecue, I mean, it would be, when we're in Kansas City, that's...
Kansas City,
oh, it was just like you,
the best.
Oh, you're licking your chops because you know you're going to get it.
And from a barbecue sauce perspective, are you like a North Carolina sauce guy, like the mustardy sauce, or are you like a pure Kansas City hotter barbecue sauce kind of guy?
I can go between the Texas and the Kansas City, but I like sometimes a little more vinegar-based, and it's got a little kick to it.
Yeah. And do you think on a pulled pork sandwich you have to have coleslaw?
Yes.
No.
You have to have pickles.
Yes. On the side.
I'm a pickle guy. Pickle and barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
I'm not a coleslaw guy. I'll eat coleslaw. I like it, you know, compartmentalized.
Yeah.
You know, this part of my stomach has coleslaw. This part has has pulled pork sandwich.
That's, you know what? When I was little.
They don't mix well to me. I don't need the crunch. I got the crunch from the pickles.
When I was a little girl, I used to say that. Like, I would go out to dinner, and I would look at my mom, and I would barely eat my dinner, and I'd say, listen, I need some dessert. My mom's like, you didn't eat. And I said, my dessert jar is wide open. My dinner jars are closed. Appetizer's closed, but dessert jar is wide open. So the whole compartment, I get it. I feel you on that.
But that's that. Like with the coleslaw, if it's more on the vinegar side, I'll do it more because I'm more of a salty.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a sweet and salty. So if you got the pickles and things and you got a little sweeter barbecue sauce, like, no, it's too sweet for me. Like,
yeah. So you would
stay in the generalization of salty on salty.
When you were here, when you're up in Boston, are you a North Shore beef guy? And I'm assuming if you like pickles, that you get the three way. So you get like the pickles. That have you ever had a North Shore?
No.
We have to get you to have a. We got to have you try.
I've never heard of that either.
You and me and Dooley will go get a. We'll go drive up.
Yeah.
We'll go get a North Shore beef. Jason Veritek is our guest, and I'm in Fort Myers. Courtney's back in Boston.
You ask him about his sauce. What's a favorite sauce? Sauce you can't.
Oh yeah. Without. If you could only go through life, the remaining life that you have, with one sauce. Only one sauce. What would that one sauce be?
Well, you have to have a little more than that. Like, what are you eating with your sauce?
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Just
if you
forget
only
it.
Have yep. one sauce.
One sauce for the rest of your life.
Only one sauce. I mean, I'm including gravy. I'm including pasta sauce. I'm in tomato sauce. I'm including all of it. If you could only have one. It's like picking a favorite kid, isn't it? I
mean, right, right.
Well, it could be one of your wife's sauces. You were just talking about the different Greek sauces.
Yeah, there's an Ava Lemono, but if like you know, I think sauce, I'm thinking of ketchup, mustard, hot sauce, like yeah. that's, yeah. you know.
Oh, ketchup's a condiment.
You know, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, some people said like their mom's bolognese, a Sunday sauce. And Matt Light, you're talking like a meal sauce.
Yeah,
Matt Light said Mozambique sauce, but then he was also like honey mustard. So, I mean, like, yeah. what's your sauce? What is the sauce that moves Jason Veritek? Oh, this is a, see, head scratcher.
You're making me think. Because yeah, my first thing came to my head was, you know, a good Louisiana hot sauce, but
okay.
I was on the condiment
okay,
end.
Okay.
But
no,
if I'm eating a sauced meal, that's going to have to be some sort of bolognese.
Like a bolognese.
Okay. Yeah, Kath makes a great bolognese. It's really good. So I have to go that route.
Okay.
All right.
And then
as you spend the rest of spring training down here, is there one go-to place that you guys like here in Fort Myers?
Greg needs some more restaurant recommendations. That's what he's asking you.
As far as a chain, just the people and when we can get in and sneak in and then the little tables in the bar. There's a Ruth Chris out in Bonita Springs that there's the staff and everybody are wonderful to us, and you know, you can get a wide range of food. But
if you're getting a steak at Ruth Chris and you're going to have a drink, what do you have for a drink?
Now, as I've lost the 2 months of weight, it'll be a Tito's and soda.
All right, okay.
With an orange wedge and a lime wedge.
With an orange wedge and a lime wedge.
Okay, right. We love it.
Yeah.
Before that, I'm going to be kicking around a bourbon and ginger.
Oh, yeah. What about a Manhattan? I like a good
Manhattan. No, I actually like a good old-fashioned.
Ah, good old-fashioned.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
not too much sugar.
Yeah.
It can't be done with simple syrup because then it tastes like your lips are puckering through the woods. So it's got to be the sugar cubes, and then I've found out I can only do a couple because I turn into a different human being.
Yeah, no, we don't want that. Yeah. We want the
sometimes good. Sometimes not so good.
All right. Well, listen, I'll ask one baseball question. You think that everybody's worried about this team? You worried about this team?
Oh, it's a good team.
It's a good team.
It's a good team, and once everything shakes out and shakes out with some of the acquisitions, and we're gonna be as good as we pitch.
Yeah,
they're gonna score some runs, but they're gonna be as good as they pitch, and then some of the additions and some of the new youth that is brought along will never replace David. Will never replace Mookie.
Yeah,
phenomenal human beings, phenomenal teammates, and all-star caliber players and elite MVP players. But we pitch well. We're going to surprise some people.
Good.
Okay, I like that.
All right. Well, thanks for being on Extra Sauce, Tech. Great to see you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Tech.
We'll be right back, and we're going to go to the North End, and we're going to try some great Italian food from Aria coming up next on Extra Sauce.
Now back to Extra Sauce with Greg Hill and Courtney Fallon on WEEI.
There may be no neighborhood in Boston that has been synonymous with food longer than the North End.
Oh, I agree. Couldn't
and
agree more.
My man Massimo is here from Aria in the North End. How are you? Thanks for being on.
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
How long have you guys been there?
We just turned 7 years old.
7 years. And what made you decide North End? Was this a dream of yours? Or?
I've been working in the same location since 97, when the old Scalinatella, same location. Worked there until 2005, and then I ran Ray Bork's Tresca from 06 to 2012, and then, you know, I had to do my own thing, so I went back where I started.
There's a lot of athletes who make their way over to your place. I know Courtney wants a list of everybody who's been there.
Oh, yeah, no, I need the VIP list of who likes to go there a lot, who's demanding, who always gets free food, who has to pay for their entire check. And the guys that, you know, the Patriots players specifically, I know run through your doors a lot. Who's like the one guy that you miss the most? Well, let's start at the top. Give me the list. Come on.
All the Pats. Gronk, Edelman, Landon Roberts, Jamie Collins, all the offensive line, coaches, BB.
Everybody comes in.
Yeah.
Except for Tom. Tom's never been.
Wow.
Never been.
Well, it's probably because you don't have TB12
I'll make it.
Approved. You'll make it for
me.
Put
a little extra cream in the mashed potatoes. He runs for the hills.
I heard he loves chicken wings. I'll do it.
What's the, when it comes to your sauce, your gravy, do you call it sauce or gravy?
Sauce.
You call it sauce. What's the key to your sauce? Because there's people who want to make it at home. Like, I always want to make it at home. But well, like, what's the key to making a great sauce?
Well, this is a thing I think that a lot of people make too much a deal out of. Mm-hmm. First, you get a good tomato, okay? Nice San Marzano.
Organic
San Marzano, a good big tomato in a can.
Yeah.
Imported from Italy or California because it's all year round. Salt, pepper. Don't overcook it, you know? It's got to be fresh.
What about sugar? Some people use sugar?
No. If you have a good tomato, you don't need sugar.
You don't need sugar. Yeah. And just don't overcook it.
Don't overcook it. Don't put too much emphasis on it.
Yeah. Everyone, you think of Italian food, you think of like Nonna's meatballs. You think of grandmother's ancestry. What is the one dish that you just, at least your grandmother or someone older than you taught you how to cook, that you knew how to cook, was just like a staple in your family?
Well, first of all, I don't cook anymore. I just eat.
I
leave it to my professionals in the kitchen.
Yes, yes.
But the recipes have been brought down through generation and generation. You know, my meatballs are award-winning. Veal and beef, salt, pepper, parsley, croutons stuffed with, soaked with milk, bread, love. You bake them, you don't fry them.
Listen. Love is the best when it's made with
ingredient.
Love.
Best ingredient ever. It's the best ingredient. No, but so that's really important. When it comes to meatballs, they should be baked, not fried, ever.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
And equal amounts of bread, so it's soft, so you don't eat in like a bowling ball.
Yeah. What's your signature dish?
I would say my awesome buco or my my grass-fed ribeye. The awesome buco is like it's a pork shank. Mm-hmm. We braise it for 6 hours in San Marzano tomato sauce. We garnish with crispy polenta. You don't even need a knife. It just falls right off the bone. It's awesome.
What's the benefit of being in the North End, making your own pastas, and then at least kind of seeing what your neighbors are doing? Do you pick up certain things from other restaurants in town, or you kind of just stay solely focused?
Courtney wants to know if you guys...
No, we all get along. We're all neighbors, you know.
Yeah.
Like next door, if Frank needs to borrow a chair, or if I need to borrow a case of olives or olive oil, we're all in it together. There's 75 restaurants in the North End, so there's a little competition, but I think everybody has their own clientele.
How do you do with cooking space? I know the square footage is huge, especially like I lived in New York for a few years, so some of these restaurants are working out of kitchens that are like smaller than a bedroom closet, you know? I mean, is that a problem for you guys, or do you...
So our kitchen, every inch is used. Our kitchen's probably about, I would say, 850 square feet.
Oh, that's not a lot.
No, and my team excels in tight space. So when we did the menu, we orchestrated every inch is used so no one has to go too far.
Interesting.
So it's very mechanically sound.
If you were going to get Italian and your restaurant was closed, where would you go in the North End?
Ooh. Either Brico or Prezzo.
Brico. I mean, the espresso martini at Brico is an excellent espresso martini.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about your work with Ray Bourque. I know that he started Tresca, that you said that you worked with Tresca. What does Ray Bourque know about Italian food?
He knows
really, that's just the biggest question.
Well, he knew how to eat good Italian food, so okay. he trusted us to supply it.
Did you bring any of his tricks over from Tresca, or is it, you know, when you start a new restaurant, is it kind of like you just start clean slate?
No, it's clean slate, but, you know, I brought my own personality and the way I do things to where I am doing it now, so.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to some of the players that come through your doors. Like, what do they typically like to order? Do they show up on time for their reservations?
Yeah, so they'll text me, hey, Mas, I'm downstairs, I'll go downstairs, I'll tell the valet.
So, like, just no warning, they'll just show up?
No, they always
okay.
call ahead.
Okay, all right.
Maybe not too much, but they always call ahead.
okay. All right, yeah, so they'll show up. Okay, so, like...
So, I'll meet them downstairs, you know, I'll take care of the car, I'll walk them up. Table's sometimes ready, sometimes not. If it's not ready, have a drink. They're really okay. cool.
What's like their signature? Are they like meat and potatoes guys? Or they like do a lot of the athletes? They stay away from the pasta, or they indulge?
No, they start with some pasta, then they always do some protein, either a steak, a veal chop, a tomahawk ribeye.
And I know that because I mean, Greg's like, hey, you know Massimo, and I'm like, no, I don't, but I know you from your Instagram. So if there's anything that like you know that you're doing good at, it's social media promoting Aria. How many pictures do you? Is it like a necessary thing? You got to snap a photo with the guy on the walking out
to.
The door.
I don't advertise at all, so whatever I do on social media, it just comes back. I guess.
Well, and you also have guys that when they come in to play the Celtics or when they come in to play the Bruins, those guys come in too, right?
Yeah, we get the away teams too. I just did a private dinner for the whole Memphis Grizzlies after the game.
Oh wow! Yeah,
the whole team.
Do you think of, like, overloading them with food so that they're slow?
No, this was after the game, so.
Oh, it was after.
Yeah. Right. They showed up at 11 o'clock. It was crazy.
All right, so what did you bring in for us to try?
All right, so first we're going to do the chicken parm. So it's a panko-encrusted, organically, humanly-raised chicken. Pounded out nice and big.
I was going to say, you have to pound your chicken.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really important, right?
To pound our chicken.
You got to pound your chicken. All right, and then it's just, do you do like egg wash or like, what do you do? Like, if I want to make this at home, like, you got to do egg wash?
Egg wash, panko crumbs.
Yeah.
A little flour.
All right, let's give this
lightly
a try.
Lightly fried and finish in the oven.
It's very, very tender. Very tender.
Yeah. That's the right amount of breadcrumbs and the right amount of cheese.
Yeah.
Wait, and is it mozzarella? Is that?
We do like a mozzarella fontina blend.
Really? Oh, that's good. That's really good.
I swear, that's it. Last week, Greg had was biting into this chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
It was so crispy. It was like the ASMR. It's like all you could hear on the radio was just just moaning and groaning over the food.
Good. I like that.
Are you big with it? Do you do the same kind of style when you do, I'm assuming you do like a veal parmesan as well?
No veal parm. We do a veal chop.
Okay. All right. So it's just chicken parm. Do you do eggplant? If someone is a vegetarian options at your restaurant.
Yeah. We make everything to order. We do a nice eggplant parm tort, like an appetizer.
Okay.
Same
like
idea.
That's like amazing. A ratatouille and a baked dish?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like layers of eggplant, mozzarella, tomato, and baked
amazing.
In the oven. Yeah.
And I'm assuming you can't be in the North End without a great bolognese.
No. So the bolognese, my mother's recipe, you got veal and beef, a little pancetta, tomato, cheese, parsley, homemade pasta. Can't beat it. That's a typical recipe where I come from in Italy, Abruzzi.
And we're trying this with the meatball, and you've won several honors when it comes to your meatball.
Yeah, we're very very fortunate to have the best balls in Boston.
Yeah, everyone loves your balls.
Hey, I can't help it.
Boston Magazine, like 6 years running, the best meatball, the best balls in Boston.
Best balls in Boston. People are loving my balls.
Do you like plaster that? Take out advertising. I'm seeing that they're very tender. I have a big chunk of meatball. Very tender. A lot of people put pork in the, you know, the combination, a trio of veal, beef, and pork. I don't eat pork, personally. But, like, you know, what's the difference of, you know, just only using those two?
I think the pork makes a little more greasy.
Yeah.
And I don't think you need to add grease to a good ball.
You know, when it comes to bolognese, is the pasta choice important?
Yeah, I always do like a nice tagliatelle, a nice long pasta, so it sticks to the noodle. Yeah. You could do a rigatoni, too. There's an option. So the sauce actually gets inside the noodle. Either way, whatever you like, short or long.
Doing pasta at home...
super difficult. You
know, yeah, I mean, is
super
there
hard.
Any like cheat tips on that? Like, is it salt in the water, or is it the amount of time you cook it for?
Salt in the water is very important. Yeah. Don't overcook it. I'm kind of like a pasta Nazi. Mm-hmm. I take pasta very important.
Yeah,
don't
al dente,
overcook it.
Always the way.
Always.
So this tagliatelle, is it tagliatelle?
Tagliatelle.
Okay. When I pick up one of these noodles, it's almost like the sauce is like there's chunks of it in there. Is that part of the cooking process, that you cook it enough so that it's not too al dente, but you want to kind of,
you want to grasp the whole in a bite. It's almost like chopped up lasagna, if you really want to take it like that.
The players that they come in, I mean, you said, like, you know, some of them are big pasta guys, but you were just telling us a story that, you know, you cooked a 35-pound suckling pig.
Yeah, so
what? So, that's perfect. It's perfect for my, you know.
So we did an O-line dinner, the Patriots offensive line, the whole offensive line. And all these guys are from the South, so they love, you know, roasted pig. So me and the chef got together. We got this 35-pound pig. We deboned it. We roasted it. And I brought it out in the dining room with, like, a Patriots hat on his face.
No.
And we carved it in the dining room.
Where do you, is there, like, a farm nearby that you pick up?
We have a local butcher that got it for us.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Do you cook wild turkeys? Because there were 20 wild turkeys in my neighbor's lawn this morning eating grass. I'm just wondering, you know, if that's kind of like a New England specialty that we can just start.
No, but I'd love to try to make a turkey parmesan.
Wild turkey parmesan. So Rue de Boston, please. I mean, like, literally, they were just
Winchester's
eating.
Winchester's own.
Winchester's own. Exactly, exactly.
So whether it's the chicken parm or the pork or the rigatoni bolognese, what do you recommend from a drink perspective? Should it always be red wine?
Yeah, I like a nice glass of wine, or, you know, Prosecco, or maybe an Aperol spritz that might open up your palate to more food.
What about after dinner drinks? I know that an Amaro?
Amaro?
Yeah. Fernet. I mean, I'm not a big Fernet. Fernet's just... smells like and tastes like poison to me. But are you really big with, you know, whoever is your somm? Are you big with, you know, pairing some of that, a limoncello after the dinner?
We love a nice Amaro. It finishes the meal. We have a Cantharba, which is from Abruzzi. It's made with 100 herbs, which is kind of cool. Very strong, but very floral.
Mm.
When it comes to the North End and kind of like your spirits selection, is it important to have a really expansive spirits bar, or is it people are in there just wanting to know about the wine?
Mostly all wine.
Yeah.
And my wine list, I'm the somm at the place, so I don't like to have a bottle that you can find at a liquor store. So
for
all
sure.
My wines are, you know, restaurant only, no liquor store allocation, kind of like a small production. I hate big names, unless you need your big California cabs, which I have, but usually the small production all over Italy.
Yeah,
I don't like main style.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, this is your signature dish. This is what you guys call the awesome buco.
Yes, sir.
What is the dish like?
So it's a shank of pork that's braised for 6 hours. So it's so super tender. You don't need a knife. There's a little bone in the middle, which the meat's around, just falls right off.
And then polenta.
Yeah, crispy polenta. So that's like Italian style grits. Mm-hmm. Where I come from, Italy, it's very popular. It's done with a little flour and then fried.
And what kind of sauce we have on this?
That's
sauce
just,
is really important to me.
That's just its own natural reduction juices and tomato sauce. That's actually the braising liquid.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
Courtney, I know you don't eat pork.
I don't eat pork. Greg, I can see Greg thoroughly enjoying his. Yep. He has the awesome buco sauce all over his face.
His beard. It.
I'm really glad I'm seeing on this side. Polenta is a really big thing for me. I know the last show we had a guy from Lily Peas on cornbread. I mean, what is, like, you know, so cornbread, but... obviously, polenta is a corn style, correct?
Yep.
Okay. What else is, like, are your signature? Your, like, if you have a good steak, what do you like to eat on the side? Like, sides, like, is it a polenta? Is it cream corn spinach? What?
Parmesan truffle fries.
Parmesan truffle fries.
Oh, yeah.
Those don't travel too well, though.
No.
Not all the way to Brighton.
No. The pike, they would kill it on the pike.
Do you do, Do you typically do, like, I know that there's, like, been a lot of conversations about truffle. You know, the issues with truffle, because real truffle, I mean, truffles are like $600-$800 in itself. So truffle oil is not mostly synthetic. So how do you make sure that your Parmesan truffle fries are not too truffly? and you get like the real stuff without charging people an arm and a leg.
So we get truffle peelings from Italy.
Okay.
And we blend it with our oil.
Oh, okay. That's actually a really decent, nice job. That's a nice way to do it.
What do you guys do about bread? Do you do bread service?
We do bread. We get it from my neighbor, Panateria.
Which, I was just going to say.
Owned by Frank.
And what do you serve with your bread? I mean, I'm
we serve an olive oil guy.
Olive oil?
Olive oil.
Olive oil, yeah.
A little olive oil guy.
And my wife's Greek, so we get the olive oil from Greece.
Oh, amazing.
From Kalamata.
All right, I ask everybody this on this show. If you could only have one sauce, I'm guessing what it is with you, but if in life you could only have one sauce, what would that one sauce be?
For the rest of your life.
Yeah.
My mother's.
Your mother's oh, Italian.
Nice. Red sauce.
Sunday sauce.
Sunday sauce would be the go-to for you.
What is the meaning of Sunday sauce, for those who don't know?
Is this like- Sunday sauce is like a sauce you probably braise meatballs and sausage and like a little meat, like an awesome buco style. Everything's there. It's on the stove all day. So if you're hungry, you're just forking it all day.
Okay, all right. So I'm almost assuming it's like right after church on Sundays. It's like you come home. And Sundays
around one, around football.
Okay, all right.
Football,
I like that.
Yeah,
bringing
football.
It right back to the sports. Yeah. Well, Aria Trattoria, it's right on Hanover Street.
Yeah, second floor, right above, right between Modern Pastry and Brico.
And you're there every night.
Try to be,
and just ask for Moss.
Yeah, you can't walk in without seeing me. I'm always there.
Okay. All right.
Well, thanks for joining us on Extra Sauce.
My pleasure.
All right, well, that's going to do it when it comes to episode 2 of Extra Sauce. Courtney, did you have a good Valentine's evening last night? Or you were working?
I was working on Monday night. However, Mutt lost a bet earlier a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And I told him, I said, when I threw out this bet on air, I said 3 Regina pizzas.
So Regina's great pizza.
Regina is the... you know what? And I was a little shocked when Regina was rated the number one pizza place in the country.
In the U.S.
In the U.S., yeah. I have no doubts in my mind that Regina has the best... The crust is so buttery.
Yeah.
It's so...
You have to go to the original North End location,
That's where we got the pizza, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we got
I was... talk about being shocked. I mentioned on the show this past week that you have to get your Regina's pizza well done.
Yeah.
And Wiggy lost his mind because he's like, I've never heard of ordering your pizza done, well done. Like, apparently it's not a thing with people, but I don't care where.
It should be. Why? Because you want a crispy. It's a matter of it being very doughy, or it's you get the pizza that's cooked and then it's a crispy crust.
Yeah, for me it's less about the crust than it is about the cheese. Like, I like the cheese to be well done. Like, you can get pizza at Brico, but only after 11 o'clock, and you have to, when it comes to the Brico, because they have the wood fired oven there.
Yeah,
so
Brico's,
I think,
so
you have to get it well done. I don't know, where's your, other than Regina, which you like clearly, but what's like, where's your favorite pizza? Where are you, a bar pizza person?
A traditional New York slice.
Oh, you
but
are?
But I eat it very sparingly. I really don't. I'm not into the flatbreads. I know that, you know, flatbread is kind of hot, you know, just around the bar pizzas. Listen, TBD. How about everyone tweet us? Tweet me. Tweet Greg. Courtney Fallon _ Greg Hill, WEEI. Use the hashtag Extra Sauce, WEEI. Next episode, we're going to do a pizza episode because, it's Regina and then... It's TBD because I'm not sold on Santarpio's. I was asking Wiggy this last weekend in the studio. I said, did they change up their menu? It's just pizza and sausage and peppers and onions. And I'm like, I don't eat that stuff. So
I was never like a huge Santarpio's person. But Danielle
person
and Wiggy
too.
Swear by it. So
all right. Well, pizza episode next episode because I don't know. I don't have a favorite. I really don't.
All right, we'll do that next Saturday, and we thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back here again with another edition of Extra Sauce 1 week from today. Thanks.
See ya.